In this episode, I want to deep dive into Mike Black's story and really kind of look at the nuances of everything. Now, let's take a quick step back. Who is Mike Black? Well, he's getting some traction online because of a video series that he did, which I'll explain what it is. But let me give you some of the headlines. You know, places like Daily Mail and Barstool Sports have written about it. And this is from, this is the headline from Barstool Sports. Millionaire goes homeless as a social experiment with a goal of making $1 million in 12 months. Spoiler, he failed. And that's kind of the prevailing narrative of a lot of these write-ups. And people are essentially dragging Mike Black through the mud because he did fail in many ways, right? Like based on that positioning, he failed, right? However, I think there's certainly a lot more to the story, and I kind of went and dug into it, right? And really looked at the videos. Now that this has been going viral on Twitter, Mike started a Twitter account, or not sure if he started one. Actually, he joined in May of 2020, but he hasn't posted until quite recently, until this like resurfaced, or maybe he deleted the old tweets. I'm not sure. But anyway, there's not a lot on his Twitter account. So to kind of sum up, you know, what it all is, was in July of 2020, when, you know, you can call it sort of the peak of COVID, or, you know, certainly we, a lot of us still didn't know what was going on, and there was a lot of unknowns. He decided to do this inspirational thing where he would give up everything and start from scratch, and with the goal that in 12 months he would get to $1 million. But, you know, he buffers it by saying that that's not the real goal. You know, he wants to ultimately create a community. He wants to show people how to build a business, and, you know, and if he gets to $1 million, great, but that's, you know, that's just kind of like an arbitrary goal. So, you know, the thing about this whole experiment, as I look at it, is I think he is genuine for the most part. And he set out with good intentions in a lot of this. I still think he looks back on everything as a positive experience. And, you know, I haven't seen every single video that he's put out, but, you know, there is a genuineness there. And he, with each episode, he gives you a lot of good takeaway, right? He does really care about providing value for the audience, okay? So there is that aspect of it. But I also, when I look at it, there's just a couple things, like, with it, and it was flagged early on before he started the experiment. You know, he responded to some questions during the video where he also highlighted the rules of how he was going to approach this. So essentially, he drained his bank account to zero. He started off with one set of clothes, and the only other thing that he would have is essentially his cell phone and a charger, you know, to get him started, right? And then he had his video equipment so he could film the vlog and stuff like that. Right, that was kind of the core basis of it, and he would cut off everyone from his network and stuff like that. Now, first thing I would want to know is, like, you know, as far as the cell phone goes, did it have his old number, and did he delete all the contacts? I don't think he did that. I'm not sure, but I'd be very curious to know. But yeah, that was kind of his starting position, and, you know, to kind of build from there. And so while not outright, you know, he never, like, a lot of these clickbaity articles talk about the notion that, yeah, it was like a kind of homeless experiment, you know, where we go from being homeless to this. And he never said that in that way. He said, yeah, he needed a place to live, but he wasn't going to, like, try to be homeless or this and that. So, you know, in an odd way, I'm kind of positioning it because I think there is a lot of positive aspects to what he's doing. Like, I think each of the videos themselves, for the most part, they do give a good how-to instruction about how to do X, Y, and Z. But my big issue with it is that, at the end of the day, it doesn't always take that holistic view. And I think he glances over certain aspects of the reality of it, right? Meaning, going back to the idea of when he was setting up the rules, there was a question that said, well, ultimately you do have a safety net that you can go back to if this fails, you know? And he gave it like a 5-second, let's say an acknowledgement, right? Where he said, yeah, you know, I guess that will change my mentality or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. And then he focused in on, you know, the commenter was kind of snarky. And so he was like, you probably have stocks and this and that. And then, you know, he just kind of ripped to shred that aspect of it. But it's like, no. I want you to really explore that mentality because you do have a safety net, right? And kind of just to cut to the chase, and then we'll rewind a little bit, you know, ultimately, it's a tragic thing that happened where his dad was diagnosed with colon cancer, terminal colon cancer. And, you know, that coupled along with literally Mike's deteriorating mental and physical health, he decided, I think it was about, let's say, 9 or 10 months into this project, and we will call it a project, that he was going to quit, right? And as much as I'm giving him, like, I think there's a lot of great stuff overall. Again, what I want to look at is under the surface of it, because the unfortunate part is, rightfully, people are criticizing that, you know, people in those dire situations, they don't get to just quit this experiment. You know, it's quite literally their life and they have to continue. And the idea, you know, as I watched these episodes and stuff like that, he has a very positive attitude overall. And, you know, he is very proud of the work, and he can be overall, but I think he also has to acknowledge that he gives into very much a grind and hustle culture, you know, no sleep. You know, he calls it bean life, where he was literally eating beans for a good chunk, you know, I think like the first 2 months while he was doing this. And, you know, it wore on him. I mean, it literally wore him out to the point that his physical and mental health was not good. And so, and he had to literally pull out. So I think he highlights, like a lot of experts, how to do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, he does use the phrase that I hate of like, no excuses, baby, you know, and he'll say like, baby, and like, he'll try to give you that inspiration, pump you up. And I think there's a lot of that needed for sure. Like, we all need to take some control over our lives and try to fight our way through. But I also, you know, and I think, as I said, he's doing it in as genuine a way as possible. But there's just blind spots, right? And the fact that he literally had a film crew with him pretty much throughout this experience, I mean, not 24 hours a day, but, you know, he had people that were there, and they might not be outright helping him, where like they can't give him a ride to and from work, but they're there, right? They're there kind of when he's at work, or, you know, there's often times when he's like, you know, in the later, like a month or two into it, he's got a bike and they're kind of riding next to him. They're filming him interacting with people and yada, yada, yada. So that in and of itself kind of changes the dynamic, because there's a social element to it. I mean, a lot of why people get depressed is they feel like they have no one there, right? And the fact that these people are not only filming it, but by filming it, it's an extension of, they're kind of rooting for him, right? They're there to support the work that he's doing, quite literally, because they're editing it and so forth. And to start this whole business, the aim of starting over from zero and going to $1 million, you know, there was an episode I watched where he lands his first client and he's having a team meeting with all of his stuff and going over, okay, how am I gonna ultimately, like, I need to make X amount of money and I need to do this. So he's like laying it out in front of the team. That's a bouncing board. That is a luxury that people don't get, right? So I give him credit for, I mean, he did take a lot of shit, right? And he shows kind of how to maneuver in that life. But at the same time, does have quite a few levers that he's pulling on that he doesn't know. And as a documentarian, you know, it would have been very interesting to me to see, because they filmed and put this out as it was going along. What would the experience have looked like if you just film everything and then in hindsight you put it all together and put it out, right? So that way the experiment is done and over with. Because I part of it is that whenever someone finds out about him, he has to, you know, step back away from it because it would be an unfair advantage. But I think, you know, while I respect that, I think it was baked in as an unnatural advantage in and of itself by having this. So it's just kind of interesting to look at in that way. And yeah, I don't think he's a bad person. I don't think he, you know, like ultimately I do think he's, as I said, trying to do good, but it's just missing the aspects of it. And I would have liked to see the holistic side of it because, you know, there's the notion that, okay, Beyonce has 24 hours in a day and so do you. So therefore, you know, there's no reason for you not to be as successful as Beyonce. Well, if you watch the episodes with Mike Black, you know, there's the struggle to really work on growth tasks versus maintenance tasks, right? And maintenance tasks are kind of the everyday. And for him, especially early on, it's okay. Okay, I got to make money to clothe myself, feed myself, house myself, like quite literally the basic needs before you can ever start thinking about building a business, right? So there's that element to it. And, you know, one of the interesting things to watch, like day one, Mike went on these like co-housing apps and applied and stuff like that. So he did that sort of legwork, you know, he created his opportunity, but it is also lucky that there was this one guy named Isaac who like took him in and by the grace of God, if you want to call it that, let him sleep with him in his RV essentially for free. Like he wasn't paying rent. I don't know. A lot of it gets blurry because like it would be interesting to see like the full financials of like, okay, how much money is coming in, how much, you know, and like that's not quite highlighted. Just the larger aspects of it are, but not quite, you know, every expenditure of like, okay, how much did you pay, you know, for food and beans and this and that and blah, 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 right? So, yeah, I think we just have, you know, I think, and the reason, I guess, why I'm really looking at all of this is not to criticize Mike or disparage Mike, you know, or at the same time, not put him up on a pedestal, right? I see kind of the two wavelengths, you know, so people are really like, yeah, bro, you know, you're really inspirational. That's great. And then people are just dragging him through the mud as I kind of opened with, you know, certainly when places like Barstool Sports and stuff like that, you know, frame it in such a way. But I think we have to arrive at a truth somewhere in the middle where, okay, yes, it is possible to do X, Y, and Z. It is a lot of hard work, but it also comes at a cost, right? And that needs to be acknowledged. That's the part, again, we can't just ignore the negative side of it. And throughout the whole series, there's a naivete to Mike. And I think that's, in essence, a requirement in a lot of ways when you take ambitious leaps forward. I mean, me as a filmmaker, I know how arduous every film that I've made has been. And yet with each one, there's naivete. Oh, the next one will be a bit easier and stuff like that. And it's always hard in different ways, right? The things that weren't so hard, or the things that were hard become a little bit easier because you've gotten better. But of course, you're challenging and you know, you're reaching further and further. And so there's just new challenges, right? So I think it does take that certain ignorance, if you will, to just blindly like, okay, yeah, this is my dream, I'm going to go for it. For sure, you can even call it optimism, like pick whatever word essentially that you want. I think that's needed there. But I think in discussing it, we also need to be honest about it in that way of, yeah, what are the true pros and cons, and, you know, what does it take? And I just don't think the aspect of how much it really drained him in this time span and how much of a safety net throughout he ultimately did have by having people to interact with. I mean, like I said, that's the biggest thing. When you feel lonely and even in good situations, right, there are people that who have been surveyed, whether it's true or not, but this is how they feel, where, you know, if something bad happened to them, they feel like they would have no people or maybe one person to call that would actually help them out. Now, I also don't think that's true, and we have to like work on our mental shift to realize that there are people out there. And also what's interesting about watching this series is a lot of the people that are helping, you know, not that he was reaching out to millionaires or billionaires, but I find oftentimes is the case, like essentially like the people with the least to give are generally the most generous. And, you know, when we sort of look at the safety nets of society, right, and everyone kind of complains about, you know, taxes and, you know, things being abused or X, Y, and Z, I think we just need to have a little bit more grace and understand that yeah, there can be bad agents out there, but in the grand scheme of things, there is a way to provide these safety nets for people so people don't have to struggle in these ways, you know? And we could figure out ways to work through these hardships, right? I mean, that's the crazy part about all of this. You know, perhaps in the past, certainly, you know, we couldn't solve homelessness or food inequality and yada, yada, yada. But now in this day and age, there's really no reason why someone ever has to be unhoused or hungry or can't get the medical treatment. And that's kind of, you know, a big component of this. As I said, I haven't seen every single episode, but, you know, when Mike announced that he quit the project, he talked about his physical health waning, but he also had insurance, you know, and I'd be curious to know, he was paying he was saying he was paying $100 a month for the insurance and stuff like that. But I'd be really curious, like, let's get down to the sort of nitty gritty of, well, what was that coverage and what did you actually end up having to pay for the medical services? Because, I mean, hell, I literally, I went in for a physical this year, and a physical is supposed to be covered by health insurance. And I asked the question, and they were ready to bill me. They're like, oh, you asked a question. And I'm like, yeah, I asked a question about my health. And they're like, oh, no. It's like, so wait. A, you didn't let me know in advance that I could be charged. And B, why the hell am I at a physical if I can't talk about my physical health? Like, that's just the most asinine thing. So medical expenses do add up very, very quickly, right? And so I'd be curious to see more of that side of it. So I think as episodes to highlight what you need to do to, you know, start a business and this and that, with the true how-tos of like how to land, like, I think it works very well as that, as a holistic viewpoint to actually go from zero to a million. It fails in that just outright. I mean, just even on the factual side that, you know, 10 months into this, he'd made $64,000 in total, right? So that is a far cry from $1 million. But also just the aspects of highlighting, you know, how arduous it can be, you know, and Yeah, it's tough to say because I think the genuine reactions, like when he had to go out and buy a bike to cut his commute, so instead of walking, he'd ride his bike. You know, he kind of spent a whole day trying to get this bike, and you know, you could see the frustration on him. And he's like, you know, sometimes you win, you lose some. But again, and not that I want him to be a certain way of like, oh man, this sucks or whatever. Like, I do appreciate the stoicism of it all to kind of hurdle through it, but also acknowledging that, like, yeah, this is what a lot of people face. You know, I mean, hell, just the other day, I went to Burger King to order some food, and a woman rushed in, and you know, she said, "Hey, I put in my order through the app. You know, is it ready?" And the order wasn't ready, and she was really getting nervous because she, you know, in her mind, she had done everything that she needed to do to put this order in advance, so that way when she got there, it would be ready. And the reason why she was nervous was because she needed to catch the bus. If she missed the bus, then the next one wasn't going to come until 35 minutes later. That adds up, you know? And it's not just time, but it wears you out mentally, you know? And that's why I do say, like, you know, Mike essentially made it to 10 months, and I think it's worthwhile to examine it in that way. But I wonder, again, the reason why I say, what would it have been like if he just filmed himself and didn't have this progression of it where he's putting out content in real time and can just solely focus on, you know, this side of it? Because, as I said, he's got the safety net of the people that he works with. And then he's also got that community aspect building him up as he's putting out these videos. And I know, you know, that in theory that could be doable where someone, you know, who's just starting off, they're putting out these videos and, you know, building that community. And that's a great way to motivate yourself. So, but I think as an experiment, it would be more interesting to me to have had it just be totally quiet, because then it's also part of it. Yeah, to me, in this sense, it's like, how much of it is coming out, like, whatever sort of lucky steps. And I'm not saying that, you know, people are handing him stuff left and right because of this project, but it is out there, you know? And so it just creates an unnecessary asterisk, in my opinion, right? So the more variables you can remove, I think the better for something like this. Now, what's interesting, so, you know, here in this experiment, he pulled out. I don't know many of other experiments like this. The only one that does come to mind is Christopher McCandless. And if you're unfamiliar, that's the basis of Into the Wild. So that was a book that became a movie. And it's about this young man named Chris McCandless who graduated a very respected college. I forget exactly which one. I'm pretty sure it was like an Ivy League one. So very smart. But he denounced society. Like he literally burned all of his like identifying passports, his money, and he started from scratch and he kind of traveled through America, and his goal was to live in the Alaskan wilderness. And he did that. The problem was that you know, months into living in the Alaskan wilderness, just in the blink of an eye, he ate, let's say, the wrong berries, right? Something that was poisonous and like highly poisonous to the effect that he couldn't cure himself, right? Like he couldn't spit it out, he couldn't yak it out. Like it was in his system and it was going to overtake him by the time he realized. And he died, right? It's a tragic story in that way. And so, you know, this idea of like whether it's living off the grid, which is what more of what Chris's goal was going to be, because he didn't want to ascribe to the typical forms of success in America versus here, you know, can you build yourself up from nothing? Yeah, I think in many ways they're both elements that we can aspire to, but also be cautioned against. And that's a conversation that I don't think we're having. You know, like one of my criticisms against Mike is he'll just buy t-shirt after t-shirt because he doesn't want to do laundry and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, well, I get it. And he's thrifting these, so it's not necessarily fast fashion, but it does lend itself to that consumerist aspect. And a lot of his businesses end up being ones where, you know, he's not doing the work, he's just paying other people to do the work. And again, is there something inherently wrong with that? No, but I think it spreads this idea that ultimately none of us are doing anything. We just find the other, like, the shit has to roll downhill, so to speak. You know, even the idea that, like, okay, you can do, I forget the term, but you rent the place and then, you know, look, I think it ended up being $2,000, but then you get somebody else to come in and rent that place, but you're marking it up to $3,600, so you're making $1,600 off of that. And it's just, in that way, not that, I mean, it's akin to price gouging, right? Like, this is what, it's just gonna make, like, prices of everything keep going up, and it's like, especially when housing is already such a big cost of everything, the fact that, like, this is a way for people to just make money. Again, it's all legal, fine, whatever, but it kind of spits in the face of all of it. And especially, you know, in that way, when he himself was in a position that, like, starting off, I mean, he ended up living by the second month with a roommate for $450 a month and things of that nature. So it's like, you know the struggle firsthand. And I think we just, you know, we try to climb the ladder of the success, but then we pull the ladder out underneath as opposed to trying to help those beneath us. And I think that, like, now one could argue the tools and the methodology that he's teaching is a way for people to climb that ladder with him. But again, it's short, like, it's short-lived, because essentially someone has to be at the bottom of that whole thing, and they're getting the shit end of the stick. Now, is it Mike's job to fix society and capitalism? No. Absolutely not. But still, these are, you know, the aspects of it that I look at that are deeper than the surface level of these headlines. You know, I will respect, like, when these headlines came out, Mike did kind of come out and defend his story a little bit. And he said, hey, don't just read the clickbaity headlines or Twitter posts. You know, you can go and watch my thing. You know, I never claimed to, you know, go homeless and this and that. And he didn't, but he started off without a home. So in a way, it's kind of semantics. But I, you know, I do appreciate, like I said, there is a genuineness to him, but I think he's just sort of blind. And I guess the reason why it irks me ultimately in that way is because it then ends up being a slippery slope. And, like, I know I'm way too behind, but I finally watched The Inventor, which is a documentary on Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos. And, you know, whether it's, like, you know, she's one example of a lot of things in from Silicon Valley where it comes from a decent place, right? Like, there's a genuineness there, but it gets co-opted and bastardized and so forth. And if we don't talk about the yin and yang of it all, then it goes in ways that that one should expect, but all of a sudden we're surprised by, and that's not good. And so, yeah, I like to get at the truth, the whole truth, as much as we can understand it. And that's why I wanted to do this episode, to really examine that. But yeah, I would encourage you, I'll link to the Daily Mail and Barstool Sports article, but I'll also link to his YouTube. And I know, you know, you could just read, it's much quicker to read the Daily Mail than it is to watch his content. But if at all you've been fascinated by this, I would encourage you to check out at least a couple of his videos just to see what he was truly about and where you sort of stand on it and so forth. So, yeah. Let me know. I hope this has been enlightening. There's other aspects, I'm sure, that I missed, but or we can sort of explore, you know. I mean, if I did an episode by episode breakdown, that'd be a whole separate thing, but I think this covers the core of my thoughts, you know, at least enough to certainly start a discussion. So comment down below. I would love to, yeah, talk further about this with you. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.